Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
And that is how serious this wilderness temptation of tempting Christ is. The consequences are always very grave at the cost of God's promises that he wants to bring into our lives. May God deliver us from this temptation. May he show us a way of escape as he is doing right now in Jesus' name. So Moses wrongly used his God-given authority because the congregation did not know the ways of God and they provoked him. They made demand on him. If you read the account, Numbers chapter 20, they were demanding for water. Can you imagine the congregation that you are with? They are demanding, making demands on you. And the Bible says that Moses was frustrated by these people and their incessant demands. I'm sure that when he looks at them, he sees the demand communicated. And when they open their mouth, they see the demand being communicated. And Moses got so frustrated with these people and their demand that when he cried to God and God said that this time speak to the rock, he took his rod and he struck the rock again. The water came out. And the people were feeling great and good. The church was working. Everything in the family was working. Things were going on fine. The needs were met. The thirst was quenched. But God told Moses that because you did not believe me to sanctify me before these people who do not know my ways, you know my ways, you know better. I have put a certain anointing upon you and you know better. Because of that, your eyes will see the promised land, but your foot will not get there. You have a sight, a vision for it, but you yourself, you will not realize it practically in your life just because you tempted Christ. In Deuteronomy, Moses said that I went to God and God said that speak no more with me on this matter. He banned him. He says that it's not negotiable. The promised land, no, you cannot go because you have used your rod of authority. You have abused your rod of authority. You have hit the anointing when you should not. And I want to encourage all of us, when we are with immature people, they make demands. When you are with immature saints, they make demands. And if you don't take care, you'll come to a point where the voice of God will come down and the voice of the people will rise up. Samuel said, I fear the people and I obey their voice. The voice of the people against the voice of God. And Moses listened to the voice of the people and then he struck the rock. So we must be careful that we do not use our spiritual authority given by God to make demand on the anointing or on Christ when he has not asked us to. It's very important. Do not use spiritual authority out of frustration, but out of direction. Don't try to make it work by yourself. You do not have to make it work by yourself. Your needs can be met, but you yourself, you can fall out with God. See, Paul was talking about being made a castaway, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the very last verse. And then when he spoke that, he said, moreover, I don't want you to forget this, that it's possible for us to have all our needs met and all the people happy around us, but we ourselves, we will fall out with God. May God deliver us from tempting Christ. Hallelujah. So we need to be careful that God's promises that he's got for us, he works it out. He works it out. We follow his directions.
You know, because God has a standard that he uses for people that he has anointed, Christians and people who are in positions of authority. He has a more stricter way of dealing with them than with the congregation. As for the congregation, they will get their water. But what about you? Have you fallen out with God? He uses a stricter way of dealing with anointed people. In fact, the higher the anointing, the more stricter he is. The way he deals with his saints, everybody may be different. But once the anointing is upon you as a believer, you need to be careful. It is his anointing, not your anointing. So I want to encourage all of us, congregation, all of us, I want to encourage you, do not abuse what God has given into your hands. Sometimes you can even use the word of God that he has given into your hands just to force God to submission and to compliance. It's possible. I know what I'm talking about because I've gone through this before. And when God taught me about this, it's changed my life. It changed the way that I saw things. Because it's possible for you to use what God himself gave you to hit him. And he says, don't hit me with it. To just bend God's hand. To say that, God, your word has said. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God's word is supposed to be used with his directions. That is why the Christian life is a relationship. It is not something that we just follow blindly, something written in black and white, like theologians. Well, it is written in the Bible, so I'm going to do it. Remember, to obey is better. That is why you must listen to God and you must follow his directions. I have used God's word to kind of bend him to comply with my demands before. But he didn't do it. I'm glad. Look, I look back and I see that, Lord, I'm so happy. I'm glad you didn't listen to me. Excuse me, you see, I was just foolish. I was so immature. I didn't know. Thank God for his mercies and grace. Hallelujah. So don't use God's word to demand his submission when he is not directing you. He gave you the rod of authority. But use it the way he says that you should use it. He gave you the Bible. He gave you that revelation. It's not for you to just apply it anywhere. You follow his directions. Hallelujah. Let's look at how Satan tempted Christ. How did Satan tempt Christ? Our subject is tempting Christ. The fourth, wilderness temptation. How Satan tempted Christ. Matthew 4:1, Luke 4:1. We know the story that Jesus Christ was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Bible says that the tempter came to him, tempting Christ, said that if you are the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. We know the story. Jesus Christ refused that. Gave him 3 temptations, all of which did not work on Jesus. But the principle or the bottom line is this, that the devil wanted Jesus to abuse his spiritual authority wrongly, using the anointing that is with him, or the anointing that is on him. He wanted him to prove that he was a son of God. Come to think of it, how can the devil come to me and tell me that I should prove? Prove to who? You, Satan, that I'm the son of God? I don't have anything to prove. That is what Jesus was in effect telling him. I have nothing to prove to you, Satan. I should prove that I have more power, that God's power is greater than your power. No, I don't have anything to prove. I do not abuse the anointing. I do not abuse God's ability. Jesus says, no, I cannot do that. You cannot tempt the Lord your God, he said. So, we must be careful that we do not prove. We don't have anything to prove. Don't prove anything to Satan, anything to men. That is why it's so foolish for you to say that, well, Elijah did a contest on Mount Carmel between the prophets of Baal and the prophets of God, so I'm going to do same. I mean, it's not proper. The anointing of God, I told you in the introduction, is not for show. It's not even to glorify you. Hallelujah. We need to understand that we don't have to prove anything to any man. Prove to men that you are the Son of God. You don't need to prove what God has said you are. You just have to believe it. You just have to believe it. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 to 13, the Bible says that if you believe, you enter into rest. That's number one. In other words, if you believe what God has said about you, you are settled. It's supposed to make you rest. It's not supposed to make you agitated and to prove what God has said. You are. Says that there remained a rest to the people of God, and we should labor to enter into that rest. Well, we do not have to prove that there is an anointing upon us or an anointing with us. The second thing is that when you enter into the rest of God, the Bible says the same, Hebrews chapter 4, you cease from your own works. You follow God's directions. Hallelujah. So let us believe what God has said. And let us not go to God because we don't believe what he has said and he must prove it. When we believe because of the signs and the wonders, Jesus is not committed to us, John chapter 2, because he knows all men. The Bible says that those who believed in him when they saw the signs in Jerusalem, he said that he was not committed to them. If you want God to be committed to you, you believe because he said it. You believe the sound, not the sign language. I can communicate to you by a sign language, by signs and wonders for you to know that God is among us. I can also communicate to you by a sound, in Romans chapter 10, their sound is gone out into the world, by a sound as the sound of Noah, that elicited response from the animals to enter the ark. By a sound, I can speak the word and you must believe. If you believe because of what you saw, God it's not committed unto you. So we need to bear that in mind. And we enter a life of proving. There will be so much strife in the church of the living God. There will be so much competition in the church of the living God. Prove that you are blessed. If you are blessed, prove it. What does it show? And then by this, look, whether you have it or not, you are blessed. You see, when God tells you that you have a car, don't believe it even when you are walking. Don't believe that you are walking. We may close church and people may be driving their cars out. God says, I have given you a car. Don't believe that you are walking. Hallelujah. It's so funny, but that's how it should be. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he that believeth shall not make haste. Shall not have to prove anything. In a hurry to prove what? That you are also blessed, so you have a husband and you have that. No, rest. Just rest. Cease from your own works. Hallelujah. And believe what God has said about you. So don't abuse your sonship authority. Don't abuse your spiritual authority based on even the written word. You know what the devil came to him? He said, look, if you are the Son of God, just throw yourself down because it is written. Jesus said, no, I can't do that. It is written that he shall give his angels charge over him. It's written there. So I should, from the pinnacle of the temple, I should fall down so that all the religious people in Jerusalem will see a sign and wonder and they will believe. No, that is not how I want people to believe. I want them to believe by a sound. I want them to believe what God has said about them and disbelieve all of the physical evidence around. We must have a relationship with God. That's why he said that, look, man lives by every word that proceedeth. That's a rhema. That's talking about present day word that proceedeth. It's not that proceeded, past tense, written over here. All these things proceeded some time ago in history. But he says that we will live by what proceedeth. Present continuous. Hallelujah. The Logos is for passive general guidance, but the Rhema is for active specific guidance. And that is how our relationship with God must be. Let's quickly look at how Ananias and Sapphira tempted Christ. Acts chapter 5. How Ananias and Sapphira tempted Christ. You must understand the background to this, that the anointing had come down. The anointing was so strong upon the church in those days. Very strong upon the church. All right. We know the story of Ananias and Sapphira also. These were people, married people, who went to sell a land, and then they came to give a pretense to the apostles, to Peter, that this is the full cost of the land. Peter asks, is this the full cost? He says, oh yes, it is the full cost. And then Peter says, why are you people doing this? Why have you conceived in your heart? There was a conception. It was a deliberate thing. They had not purified their heart. It was conceived by them. Like you have a conception, a baby is there. Why have you conceived in your heart to tempt the Spirit of God? Why are you trying to strike the Christ? Why are you trying to tempt the anointing?
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
All right. And we know the story that it fell down and they died. What does it mean? What it means is that we can lose all of the promises that God has promised us if we tempt Christ. But I want us to understand the lessons behind all of these things, because sometimes we're limited to maybe lying about your finances. It's not just about that. Just God just used finances to teach a very important lesson. It started with a strife for recognition. Just a strife for recognition. Because in those days, what was happening is that those who had land and all those things, houses, they would sell them. And then they would bring the price to the apostles and they would distribute according to their needs. Okay? And that was the done thing. And if you did that, obviously, it was a wonderful thing that you did. And Ananias and Sapphira wanted to walk in that kind of recognition. What did they do? It started with a strife for recognition. It made them to live a lie because they had not been made what they wanted to project to be. God had not made them what they were seeking, that all the congregation, including the apostles, who see them in a certain way, that I sold my property, I brought everything unto the saints. Now that wasn't it. But he wanted that recognition. So, it started with a strive for recognition that made them to live out a lie just so that they will get a name. They'll be projected as people who also lay down their lives, some. Who are also sacrificing for the church, some. But you know, and I know, that it is not all that you have brought. Although you are giving the picture that you are the best sacrificer in the church. Hey, it's a serious thing, ladies and gentlemen. Very serious thing. What God has to, you need to understand that God has to make you what you must project. God has to make you what you must project. And I realized something with God. It's so amazing. He gets infuriated when he has made you into something and you refuse to acknowledge it. God has made you into something and you refuse to recognize what he has made you. He gets infuriated. He gets annoyed.
Do you remember the story of Moses? He was so annoyed with Moses. That Moses, me, sovereign God, I've come to you. That go and deliver my people out of Israel. And you are giving excuses, about five or so excuses. I cannot speak. Whatever. Or what is your name? Oh, Moses. God got so infuriated. The Bible says that God was wanting to kill Moses. You see, because if you turn Christ, it's at the cost of a promise God has made. He can make you a deliverer, but if you turn Christ, you can lose that promise. As the same Lord who told him, go and deliver my people, is now seeking to slay him. Had it not been for the wife, Zipporah, who acknowledged the blood covenant with Abraham, Moses would have gone. Yeah. So, whatever God has called you to, please stand in that office fully. And it is not pride if you say that God has anointed me to do this. Because he has anointed you to do that. You rather enter into false humility and it angers him when you do not acknowledge the anointing and his role upon your life. Because listen, ladies and gentlemen, with all of the reasons that Moses gave, there was nothing, it wasn't tenable. It was no reason. Because we will never feel adequate for what God has called us to do. We will never. Never. We will never feel adequate for what God says we must do. We will always feel inadequate. So if you want to feel adequate before you do what God has called you to do, you will enter into Moses' problem. You see, when God calls you to do something, he puts an anointing on you for that. And to refuse to do it is an abuse of the anointing. It is taking the anointing for granted, like Ananias and Sapphira did. Because the anointing, God has to make them into those kind of people before they could project to the church or to the world that is how they are. So I realize on the flip side, when he has not made you into something and you strive for it, like Ananias and Sapphira, you are tempting Christ. You are tempting Christ. You are trying to draw water from the rock, which you should not. So it's very important that we watch this thing. If God has called you, please respond to the call of God. You know, Moses, when God called him, he had a rod in his hand. God told him, as one of the signs, he said, I put your rod down. And the rod, when he put it down, it turned into a serpent. And the serpent was chasing Moses. Read the story well. The serpent was chasing Moses to go and bite Moses. The Bible says that Moses fled from before it. It became so antagonistic. The same rod, oh, of apostolic authority, spiritual authority, when you put it on the floor, it will chase you. It will harass you until you pick the call of God by the tail. You can't pick it by the head. Because you see the fangs. Is it called the fangs? Yeah, you see it. I mean, the thing is wild. God says, go and deliver my people, and you have put the call on the floor. God has called you to do something, and you are just taking it for granted, putting it on the floor. In putting it on the floor, you are putting the anointing for that assignment on the floor. And God doesn't take it kindly. It amounts to tempting Christ. The snake was chasing Moses, and Moses fled from before it. And God said, look, Moses, you pick your calling. Pick it by the tail. He picked it by the tail. Don't confuse this thing with the one that swallowed the. They are two different instances. This was God teaching Moses that when I call you and you take it easy, you forget that it's not you. It is my anointing. And you take the call for granted. You are tempting the Holy Spirit and the Christ. That's why the serpent was after him.
He picked it by the... And imagine how Moses felt when he was holding the rod again. I'm sure he felt great. And people would doubt that. People would say it's a stick. He said, look, I've seen something. This thing, there's something inside. If I put it on the floor again, if I use it without God's direction again. That's why God got infuriated when he took the rod and he struck Jesus Christ again. Contrary to God's plan. So what am I teaching us? I'm teaching us, ladies and gentlemen, that the role of the anointing is to make you adequate for a particular task. Ananias and Sapphira sidestepped the anointing or the Holy Spirit's role by projecting themselves into what they are not made because of the desire for recognition. Don't struggle for God's work. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't struggle. God's work. You don't struggle. Hey! Do you understand what you are doing? Eh? Desire for recognition. Don't struggle for recognition in God's house. Don't struggle to be made somebody before men that God has not made you. If he has made you, stand in it. It's not pride. It's humility. When you declare by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I stand. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in conclusion. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and then verse 6. Paul is speaking. I want you to be there because it's so profound. But he speaks to the issue of tempting Christ, sidestepping the anointing. For though I would desire to glory, says that though I also love recognition, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear. Lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that which he heareth of me. That's very deep. By speaking to the same issue, Paul says that I'm not struggling to put myself, project myself in a manner that you have not heard of me. Or that you have not seen of me. I am okay, although I desire for recognition. Human being, who doesn't like recognition? But he says, I will not be a fool. Because I know what that thing amounts to. I will not tempt Christ. I will not project myself to be something that God has not made me. I will be content and happy where God has called me, what he has assigned me to do in the church, and I will do it fully. I refuse to project, lest you think of me in a manner that really, spiritually, I am not. Because that amounts to tempting Christ. I trust that God is going to help us so that we would find a way of escape out of this fourth wilderness temptation of tempting Christ, of tempting the anointing, of not acknowledging the anointing in our lives. Because the consequences, as we have seen in how Israel tempted Christ, how Moses tempted Christ, how King Saul tempted Christ, how Satan tempted Christ, and how Ananias and Sapphira tempted Christ, the result is a loss of God's promise in your life. You don't get it because you tempt the anointing which is on you as a believer. May God help us all in Jesus' name. Amen. You came from
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. come into my heart and make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.